The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory.
Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." And Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. And what is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that God gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. In a really wonderful book called Nanaville, Adventures in Grandparenting, writer Anna Quinlan talks about how when she was a kid, a grandma looked like a grandma. They wore grandma clothes. Anybody remember house dresses? I remember my mom wearing them. Their hair looked like grandmother hair. They had grandmother glasses. And to be honest, they smelled like grandmothers. I'm not sure what that means, but I think it means they smelled like cookies. Everything she said was true, and I have to admit, especially for my grandmas, especially my grandma Verrier. She was the epitome of what a grandma would look like. From shoes to stockings to dresses, grandmas looked, acted, and smelled like grandmothers. That was the same for grandpas, except they didn't wear house dresses. Nowadays, however, Anna Quinlan confesses, the odds are that today's grandmothers wear the same skinny jeans as their daughters and granddaughters. Well, this grandmother does not wear skinny jeans, but... that's what she says. They buy their blouses and sweaters from the same stores, and they wear and color their hair the same as both their daughters and granddaughters. I've seen awesome grandma kind of women with white hair with the red coloring in it. It's really cool. Grandpas, I think they do the same thing. They often don't color their hair, though, like we women do. But it has long been said that we live in a youth-obsessed culture. We don't want to grow old. We don't want to look old. We want to stay in shape and fashion as if we were still in our 20s or 30s. And yet I ask those of us who are now just a couple years beyond our 20s and our 30s, would we really want to go back to our younger selves? I wonder. Who can forget the anxieties of young adulthood? What will I do? Where will I live? Who will I marry? How will I afford to pay all of this? I don't think I would want to necessarily turn the clock back that far. I cherish my childhood dreams that never became fruition, and you'll laugh when you hear what my childhood dream was, because you all know I cannot sing. I wanted to be a famous singer and dancer, and my stage name was going to be Peggy O'Neill. I had that all figured out in grade school. It didn't happen. It didn't happen. And I don't want to go back to that. I've earned this incredibly natural hair, and with it, I've earned the wrinkles and the need for glasses, and that has come with a wisdom that I didn't have and couldn't have when I was younger. With age comes both experience and wisdom and arthritis. And that brings us to Nicodemus and today's readings. After coming to Jesus at night and generously complimenting Jesus, Jesus replies to Nicodemus with a notoriously slippery response. "Very truly, I tell you," Jesus abruptly says to Nicodemus, seemingly out of the blue, "no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Why is that notoriously slippery? Because as Jesus well knows, there are a number of ways to hear what he is saying to Nicodemus. As we've mentioned many times, the words in Greek that are translated here as being born from above could also just as easily be heard and translated as being born again. The Greek language has a lot of slippery words in it. And although it's notoriously slippery either way, Nicodemus hears Jesus saying that the only way to see God's kingdom, which he wants very much to see, is by being born again, humanly, being born a second time. And how could he do that? And more to the point, why would he want to do that? And this is something that I've really never paid too much attention to before, and that is, this too is slippery, because as we hear it this morning, Nicodemus's response to Jesus says, how can anybody be born after growing old? Can one enter a second time into mom's womb and be born? And what's slippery about this is that the Greek language, again, gives us some clues about how we should hear what Nicodemus is saying and thus understand more accurately what Nicodemus means. It isn't any wonder Nicodemus isn't saying that how could anybody possibly be born after growing old? I wonder how that could be. It isn't even a genuine question. Nicodemus is not actually asking Jesus how to do or asking Jesus, could this possibly be true? It's actually a rejection. And it's a rejection filled with disgust. What Nicodemus is actually saying to Jesus is something like this: Rabbi, why in God's name would anyone ever want to be born a second time? I'm not going back to my infancy and childhood ever again. And I don't want to. And I didn't know anything then, and I didn't have anybody's respect then. It's taken me years and years of study and dedication to become a member of the respected Pharisee school. I'm not going back. And I don't want to. To which the notoriously elusive Jesus responds, well, very well then, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. So what is Jesus talking about? Although Jesus didn't really explain it, at least not in today's gospel, he immediately goes on to say the wind or the Spirit. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. In other words, seeing the kingdom of God being born from above or being born again is entirely out of our control. We can't control it. We can't bring it about. We are, says Jesus, as helpless as a newborn baby. However you hear it, we must be born from above or born again. And like Nicodemus, a lot of us resist the idea of returning to giving our lives entirely into the care of another because we don't want to be so helpless. We don't want to give it all up to start again. And if that's too abstract, as the Gospel of John truly is all the time, very abstract, just think about today's first reading. It's much more concrete. Abram and Sarai, their names had not yet been changed to Abraham and Sarah, are briefly introduced in the previous chapter as being part of a long lineage of famous and powerful Mesopotamians. To put it simply, they're the big deal. The way we may think about it is, where they lived, most of the streets and towns would have been named for family members. They came from a long line of movers and shakers. Nevertheless, out of the blue, Yahweh introduces himself to this well-established, well-entrenched, but childless couple, saying, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing." Bottom line through these texts is God challenges and invites them and us to leave everything behind. Land, kindred, property, to follow God in the hope of future blessing. God is inviting and challenging them to let go and let God. Today, Jesus invites Nicodemus and you and me to do the same, to place our futures entirely in God's hands, and to follow where God leads us. As Paul proclaims in today's majestic second reading, that's what it means to live by faith alone. We place ourselves and our future in God's hands, and we trust. Amen.